Yo, what's good, everybody? It's your boy, Petey Mac.
And it's your boy, Big Keith, man.
And welcome to the Big Keith and Petey Mac podcast, man.
Yo.
What's good, y'all? This the man, Petey Mac.
And this Big Keith checking out, man. What's going on?
Man, this past week been kind of crazy for us, man.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Man, first of all, did you hear Stephen A. Smith go off on dude that called his radio show?
No, I seen the thumbnail for it. I never watched
it. Man, the dude straight up called him a scrub, man. Stephen A. went straight Brooklyn on cuz, man. I was like, oh, wow. Like
Stephen A., he got some wild takes. I like his candidness, though.
But no, the man, he told the truth, though. Like, the man came and said, what's up, scrub? And then he was like, man, don't you call him disrespecting my show, calling me no scrub. He said, act like you got some sense, and then you can start talking. And he said, nah, speak. I was like,
What did the guy end up saying to
me? I don't know. The thumbnail you said you saw it. That's where the clip ends. Like, I don't have time to sit there and watch all that. I got a job.
I'm glad we don't accept no callers. I'll be cussing people out day in, day out.
But, I feel him on that, man, because, like, sometimes you got to. I had to do that a couple times with some people here who just thought that, because I'm a cool dude, that I'm just the one. And I show them I'm not the one, because, like, this place cool, and I like the deployment, but. Dealing with these people every day, man. I'm ready to go because this place like high school. Dog. I mean, it get like high school sometimes, man. And it ain't even from the young service member that's 18, 19, 20, 21. It's from the people like 27, 28, 29, 30, and 30 plus.
Speaking of being a service member out here, thoughts and prayers to all the victims and the families that were impacted by the El Paso shooting. The only thing I can think of is we're out here, you know.
Well, see, my cousin
fighting a war on terrorism, but it seems the greatest impacts on our country are being put on us by homegrown, quote unquote, domestic terrorists.
I agree with you,
and they're not even called terrorists, but that's what it is.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, cause like I said, I was worried cause my cousin he's right there. Stationed out of Fort Bliss right now in the Army, and I had called him straight up. He didn't answer the phone, but then he finally marked himself safe. I said, well, damn, bro, thanks for taking. I said, well, thanks for letting me know when I hit you up. I said, you good? He's like, yeah, my ass was at work. I'm like, what? You can tell me that when I say, yo, you good? Like,
man.
But no, this is what really gets me about that whole situation. So this man had an assault rifle, killed 19 people, injured 40. Police took him into custody. Now, I wonder why they didn't feel threatened for their safety by him. But you know, somebody look like me and you, who are armed, they feel threatened for their safety.
I'm gonna tell you why.
I know why.
And the narrative will be because that shooter was compliant with the officer's commands. Anytime I see a case of police misconduct, there's always arguments against the quote unquote offending party saying, he should have just stopped. He should have listened to the police commands. Whoop de whoop de whoop and all that.
But half the time you ain't got it, because I saw one video that actually took place in my home state of Mississippi. They pulled the guy over, which they should have. I hate to sound like they should have. The dude was going 101 on the highway. No highway in Mississippi is like a 90 or something. So he was going 101.
I ain't never seen a.
So they pulled him over. Now he had his hand on the car. The first officer, he was trying to be, the officer was still somewhat wrong, Miss Albert Patrolman. He tried to, like, tell him, put his hand on the car, put his tape, like, man, like, what are you charging me? What'd you put me over with? I'm complying, I'm doing everything you say. Next dude come up, super, just come up, looking like he on the episode of Cops, just come up, rush out the car. Did he fucking tell you, just went, grabbed the man and slammed him. I'm like, that wasn't even called for. So 9 times out of 10, when they do harm people that look like me and you, it's because you didn't, all of a sudden, took it from 0 to 100, and then now you in a tussle. So this person not fighting you back. They're just fighting, they're fighting for their safety because they feel for their safety.
Yeah.
And you like, oh.
It's natural human reaction to defend yourself when you're being assaulted.
But you know, it's certain people. But it's certain people out there. And those people that don't look like me and you, they're going to be like, well, why wouldn't they just comply? You guys are blowing it out of proportion. I had explained this to my friend one time. He's like, yeah, y'all just blowing out of proportion. Y'all don't do that. I said, you know what? You think this is just happening just by happenstance? I said, let me tell you something.
Out of sight, out of mind.
I told him, I said, do your parents talk to you about how to deal with the cops? He's like, yeah, they do. I said, why do you think they do that? He said, that's just so I can come. I don't end up getting arrested. I said, My parents do that so I can come home at night. So I don't end up at the morgue.
I'm telling you.
I said, it ain't you got to worry about your mama not come pick you up from the station. I got to worry about my mama coming and identify me at the county morgue.
And I try to tell everybody, like, look at the origin of police. Look at the origin of the police. What did the police derive from? They were slave patrol.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? So, and this is not years ago. This is 1913.
Yeah.
This is not that long ago. So if you just look at the origins of the police, you can just see the history of activity. This is less than 100. This is 106 years ago. And then I can guarantee if you look into the background of some of these police officers, you can see some questions.
Oh yeah.
You'll see some.
Because you'll see a lot of them when they get arrested for stupid shit they get arrested for. And I'm like, so there's somebody out there who application he gets shut down. But this guy is doing, because they, like, if you look up some stuff police been arrested for all over the country, it's some stuff like, that dude's a police officer, he got arrested for that shit?
I'm telling you, there's some things going on.
And that's why every time I get pulled over by the police, like, my hand, like, you know how they tell you go for your license registration, your glove part, as soon as I see them lights hit, I'm already reaching over there, I got it right on my dashboard, and, they say, can I get your license, registration, proof of insurance? I say, can you shine a light on my dashboard? Because they right there on my dashboard. And I hand it to them, and I hand it to them. I keep my hand on the wheel, attending to, like they told you during the drive test. Like, can I step out the car? I'm like, do you mind if I put my arm out and hit this one out and outside? Because I'm not going to do nothing like that.
They probably try to say you're being a smart ass.
No, they'd be like, man, you got to relax. And I'd be like, the hell you preaching? No, I don't. Because they'd be like, can you step out the car? I step out the car, I have my hands up. And then they be like, man, you put your hand down, relax. I take my hands and I turn them inside with his face and my palm and I put my hand down like, bro, stop. I'm like, I'm not being funny. I really just want to show y'all that I have nothing.
I'm telling you.
I don't want you guys looking for no excuse to fear for your life.
I'm telling you.
So.
You gotta know your history, man. You gotta know.
But you know what the narrative gonna be about this young man who did that in El Paso, don't
not even in that. They're going to say something about...
He was crazy. He had a history of mental health. Because you know they always have a history of mental health.
But if you look at his... somebody leaked his little Twitter account or whatever and...
No, he was real like...
Trump.
Yeah, he was like real...
David Duke, who is the Grand Wizard or some shit.
David Duke, Grand Wizard of Ku Klux Klan. Used to be the Grand Wizard of Ku Klux Klan. I don't think he is no more.
You see what I'm saying? Like...
I could be wrong. He might still be, but I just know... Like, that was him in Black Klansman, the one that the guy from Topher Grace, the guy you played Foreman on that 70s show. That's David Duke.
Yeah.
That's David Duke.
So, I would have to say that if there is anything of a mental illness, I would say racism is a mental illness.
But you know, like I said,
that's what I would say.
They gonna play mental illness into this. I just want you to know that.
I have my own thoughts about mental illness.
Go on, get into it, big fella. Also, for those, if y'all ain't picking, this is gonna be an episode that's gonna be real low on food talk. We ain't gonna be really going into food. We gonna probably have some in there.
We're gonna have some food talk at all.
But it's just gonna be a little low level.
So, my whole take on the mental illness thing, and it's a thing that I've seen more recently with this newer generation.
Well, we're in the military, so we're gonna see mental illness. You know, we got a lot of retarded people in here, you know.
Which I think is a real illness. Mental retardation, I feel, is a real illness, and you can't get into the military with that.
Well, I'm talking about like how when people say, and this ain't in anything to anybody with a mental illness, but like people like, boy, you retarded. I mean, like, just like, not that you didn't really, that's just like a joke, like, hey, bro, you retarded. I mean, like, something wrong with you, like, you don't have common sense.
And I say that to preface the difference in between a disease and somebody having hurt feelings, or what I used to feel as being soft. I don't feel the same way about mental illness as I used to. I'm a little bit more sympathetic than I once was. So,
you must have had a change of heart over last week, because we talked offline and you clearly was like, man, that's a cop out.
Knowing that we were going to talk about this, I decided to examine my life and do a little bit of research, and I had to talk to my wife. And she holds me accountable.
Oh, y'all, I'm so proud.
No.
He growing up on me. Oh, my God, he growing up on me.
So my wife kind of holds me accountable about a lot. So just a little background about my life. So me personally, I lived a life where I can guarantee 90% of people would not have to would not want to endure the things that I've endured in my life.
Basically, he ain't true thug like thug like.
Nah, not even no thug. It's just heartbreak. I lost both my parents before I was 20. I lost my first child.
Oh wow, I ain't know.
Yeah, lost my first child. Broke my ankle senior year of high school, so my football dream was broken after that. And this is all before I turned the age of 20. With that being said, is I didn't have the excuse of saying my anxiety or quote unquote depression led me to do this and led me to do that. I decided to take responsibility to where I wasn't where I was supposed to be in life, and that was my own wrongdoing. Because for example, if you commit a crime, you can't go in front of the judge and say, oh, my anxiety or my depression made me do this. The judge is going to say,
you should know better.
He's going to slam that gavel, and he's going to give you that time. The landlord don't want to hear about anxiety and depression on the first of the month. He want his money.
He want that bread.
He want his money. So that's how I used to think about it. I used to think, well, if I've endured what I've endured in my life, then nobody else has an excuse. But personally, I still think it's a bit iffy. I want to talk to a doctor, and I want to actually see where a feeling of being anxious or you being depressed can trigger an attack, where it can trigger your heart racing and you blacking out and getting the shortness of breath. That's the thing that I do not believe in. I do not believe.
You don't believe in panic attacks? That's a panic attack you just basically described.
I don't see the correlation between you feeling something and then that happening. I want to know the correlation before I can believe that.
You gotta understand, like, I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying I can somewhat see it. You gotta understand, like, if you feeling depressed and lonely and just unloved, like you go in a room by yourself. Cause I'm gonna get into my story, but one part of my story, and I've had this happen a lot. You could be in a room full of people and just feel like you don't matter, and just feel like nobody sees you, and it's like you just like in a crowd, but you all by yourself. I've had it happen to me a lot growing up, and I've had that feeling. So you might think if you down by yourself, you think, oh shit, there's threats everywhere. I'm outnumbered. So that might like have you on guard, and then that's overwhelming, and then like you get overwhelmed, then you just like how some people that get overwhelmed, they pass out, they lose, they have shortness of breath. That might be the correlation. I don't know. I'm not educated in this.
Okay,
situation.
Me either. And that's why I said before I actually speak on something, I kind of want to talk to someone who is educated in this.
What?
But you know, in my life, after I lost my mom September 2013. I took it pretty hard. Didn't do what I was supposed to do in my studies. I had a weight gain. You know, things of that nature. Just not to say I was going down a bad path, but it just wasn't where I should have been. Knowing like the gifts I've been blessed with, I wasn't where I'm supposed to be. So my wife or my girlfriend at the time, she basically held me accountable. She was like, you know, we not getting no younger. She was like, she got me back in the gym. She got my diet right. You know what I'm saying? She was doing things to where she was making sure I was completing my schoolwork, things of that nature. And I got right back on track anyway. So I say that. So if you are feeling depressed and or anxious, I would say there's a lot of steps that you can take in your life. First, you got to look at the people around you.
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody should be holding you accountable for your actions. Just like my wife held me accountable and my friends were holding me accountable for my actions.
But just like how you were saying, we talked about this offline too. It was a stigma, especially me and you were growing up, it's a stigma in the black community about mental illness. That like, oh, something wrong with you, you weak, like you crazy, yeah. And all this.
And I was one who would agree with that. What I used to agree
because
with that, with that statement.
Yeah, because I ain't gonna lie, my personal story, okay, going, I haven't, like, suffered loss like that, like Keith has, but I remember, like, I had a battle with mental illness, like, a lot, especially during my teenage years, because it's like, when I was in elementary school, it's like the world was one way. Like, I was 12, I was sixth grade, world was one way, everything. Then I go to junior high, and it's like, all my friends just changed. I'm like, when the hell, what just happened over the summer? Like, because I lived in a neighborhood where I didn't live around a lot of my peers and stuff. I lived around a bunch of older white people. And this is what I want to say to people who have kids. Please, if you have kids, if you can afford a house in a neighborhood with some kids, do that to them. Don't disservice your kids, because school and the extracurricular activities, there's other parts that they need to have the interaction with kids. Because I'm a prime example. If you don't have that other interaction, like day-to-day interaction with kids, that's gonna kind of put you behind. Which, in a way, it might be God bless me that I got put behind everybody else. Because, like, a lot of people that were my peers back home, they still back home and they ain't doing a damn thing. They ain't doing anything. But, you know what I'm saying? I just struggled socially. And it started weighing on me. Like, I just really didn't want to go to school. Because it's like, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to, like, be ridiculed. And, like, I used to go out on the weekends. And I go out on the weekends, I get ridiculed. So I start staying at the house. And my mom, my dad, like, you don't want to do nothing. I'm like, it's not that I don't want to do anything. Why do I want to go somewhere I'm going to get ridiculed? Why do I want to bring that pain into my life, man? I might as well just cut the middle, man. I stay home and play Madden. I'd rather do that. I mean, I don't want to do this. You know what I'm saying? But hey, this is safer than going out there and getting my feelings hurt every Friday and Saturday night. So I'd rather just stay here. And I actually ended up, my mom actually took me to to a therapist, and they actually put me on medication. I actually forgot the medication it was. I was on medication for a little while, and that stuff was supposed to help you. That shit did not help me.
And that's another thing I want to address. Those pharmaceutical companies are getting rich off of pumping poison in the brains of young kids. It's not even
because it was supposed
generations to be. Past didn't have Prozac and the shit that we got now. It's poison.
Well, it's just the thing, but see, it's supposed to help you focus and, like, feel. That stuff just made me bored and lethargic. I'm like, I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to be here. It just slowed time down. Like, I'd be at school. It used to be, I just, like, man, I'm just ready to go. This shit by anxious. And I just went to, I don't want to be here. I don't care to be here. I'm like, please let me go home.
It's
like,
a mood. It suppresses your personality. It's a personality suppressor. And then once you stop taking it, it's going to fuck you up.
And then there's another thing. I had no outlet because, you know, like, I do comedy and stuff like that. When I grew up, it's a small southern town. So it's sports or nothing. It's sports, the streets. Oh, and at the point in time, rapping was, you know, everybody was getting this too.
Shout out to Mississippi.
So it's like either you bang or you ball. And I wasn't much of an athlete as much as I tried. I just, at 7th, 8th grade, I was like, this ain't in the cards for me, even though as much as I wanted, this not in the cards. And I wasn't a banger. I want to go bang because I'm like, I don't need to do this. I come from a decent family. Like, my mama has a decent house over here. And even though my daddy got a decent house. I come from a good background, so I'm like, because that's the number one thing I actually hate. I hate people who go hit the streets, and it's like, bro, we know you, dude, your dad is a county deputy. Like, you look fucking stupid on a pitch. I actually knew a kid who used to be going around GDN throwing a pitchfork, and I'm like, nigga, your daddy is a Jackson County Sheriff's deputy. And I'm looking around like,
look, we suffer from that in our, you know, I'm from an army town, Fort Campbell, yeah. Kentucky, and we got people, they parents, sergeant majors in the armies, you know what I'm saying, E-9s and, you know, lieutenant colonels, things like that, but they gangbang nowadays.
And I was like, I ain't finna be gangbang, like, I'm gonna be honest with you, because my daddy, he from 70, you know, they used to call each other cuz and all that. My daddy, like, I'm the one who had to check my dad on that, like, what's up, I like, hey, bro, we somewhere, you can't say nothing, because I remember a couple of my homeboys who were, quote-unquote, bloods. I ran to them at Walmart, and my dad was like, you ready, cuz? And then I said, Pops, you can't do that around them kids, man. They all blood. My daddy pulled up. My daddy keep his 45. My daddy said, the fuck that got to do with me? Let one of them little niggas try it. I got more heat than hell for him. Yeah. But it's like, so I, like, Like I said, though, there was no outlet for me to do, like, arts and that. So, like I said, I really felt like I didn't have no purpose, and I just went into a little shell. Because for a long time, my friends were trying to tell me to do comedy. They were like, hey, man, you need to do comedy. You funny? I'm like, bro, I'm not funny. Nobody laughs when I say y'all just laugh, and I'm just kicking it with y'all. There's a difference between... So I actually probably could have started comedy a lot earlier.
Yeah.
And then I did. And then, to be honest, comedy actually is therapeutic for me.
And everything that Pete's saying is a direct correlation. The people around you attribute to your anxiety and depression as much as your own.
Oh, yeah, because that's the thing I was saying. Like, a lot of my quote-unquote friends,
yes,
they were, like, making fun of me, yes, and this, that, and the third. And, like, they were just like, and they were, like, beating me down, like, what is wrong with me? What? I had a couple of people, and not all of them were friends. Some of them were peers I had, and a couple, there's a couple of chicks that actually told me straight up, they said, dude, you're not an ugly guy. They said, just relax. Because, like, it got to a point. My sadness and depression about my, it gave way to anger. Like, and it's like, I'm quick to snap at anybody who say anything. And I'm slowly starting to get out of it. Matter of fact, now, a lot of people tell me I still walk around with a mean mug on my face. Like, a lot of people say, bro, if you decide that you want to go and be a boot camp instructor in the Navy, you got the perfect persona for it, because you always look like you pissed off. But it's a couple people that realize what I'm doing, and it's a couple, it was one chick in particular. I'm not going to say her name. I'm just going to call her Charity. I ain't going to put a real name out there. And Charity was a cheerleader and all. We had, like, chemistry. Charity said, Pete, there's nothing really wrong with you. You just got to stop, like, being on go mode all the time. Like, you on go mode anytime somebody says. She said, just chill out and relax. She said, because you're not an ugly dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn. I like, she's like, you're not an ugly dude. She said, you just on go mode all the time. And I'm slowly starting to do it, but it's just, like, when you get attacked all the time, it's like my guard is constantly up. And then, too, as we know, let me put it this way. When it comes to lust, I'm cool. I'm good in the lust field. But in the love department, I can make a woman lust after me. But making her love me, that's like Tetris.
You can't. You got to love yourself first.
Well, I do love myself first. But here's the thing.
But yeah.
Here's the thing. I just run into so much stuff on that end that it's got to the point where, like, I'm getting better with now, but it got to the point when I was like, especially when I first was stationed in San Diego, because it just kept happening. It gets to the point I meet a woman, my friend, like, she fine. I like, it's going to break up in about a week or two. Give it time. And they're like, bro, why? I said, because I know these things. And it sure enough, so it got to the point at one point in time, like, matter of fact, I think like about 6 months to a year before I left San Diego, I just told people that I'm not even trying. Like, I don't even want to meet nobody. I don't want to. And throughout that time, that messed me up. With some woman that came behind that. Good and everything. Good for me. Supporting me and everything. I told her I was going through some personal stuff straight up. And she's like, I'm rocking with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. I like, who sent you? Who sent you?
Who sent you?
You from the government, ain't you? The big brother sent you, didn't I don't trust this.
But yeah, the people around you attribute to toxicity. And then... how you said you started doing comedy. My wife got me in the gym. I started weightlifting. I was already weightlifting because of sports, but then going to start weightlifting on my own and changing up my diet also attributed to the turnaround in my personal life and or feelings. So although I do say that I took responsibility before where I was at, but I also took the proper steps to kind of reverse my fortune. So,
yeah. And then, like how you saying about the people around you, sometimes it's people around you, and we talked about this when we got on air. Sometimes those people around you want you to be down that bad because they got some stuff in themselves, and it's like that old saying, misery loves company. Because I had a friend of mine, I started my college career at Alcorn State University. Didn't really care being out there. I got like 2 fist fights when I was out there. And it just wasn't a place for me. Like, it wasn't a place for me. I mean, I'm from a country town, but I like to be in a city environment. I don't like the country. I don't. I'm from there. That's why the hell I got away from it. I don't like it. I want to see subway cars. Yeah. I don't want to see horses walking down the street. I want to see subway cars. I want to see a skyline. Not like hills and valleys and shit of trees. I don't like that. Like, when I came back from California, And I drove from the airport in Mobile to Mississippi because my dad left me a rental car. I was like, what the hell is all these trees doing there? Because I wasn't used to that because I've been in California. And if you drive down the highway in California, it's like wide open, like kind of deserty, of palm trees here and there. So when I'm going down the whole tree line, I'm like, this is different. But like they don't like, because like a friend of mine told from college, my friend Erica, who used to be, I used to work with newspaper staff in Alcorn. She was the editor-in-chief. Shout out, editor-in-chief. She know what I'm talking about. It's inside. She told me the reason why some people don't like it is your personality, and they can see by the personality you got, they like, I don't have one like that, so I'm gonna find something else that I can get at him about that, about himself, that'll crumble him down, so I can feel superior to him, because this man pretty much...
He got it.
He got it. Yeah. And that's probably what a lot of people, if you're struggling with that with your friends, and you're trying to do it and your friends are not holding you accountable, want you to do better, it's probably because they see your potential.
They don't want you to be
They don't want you better, because like, you got potential to do some great things, and they don't want to see that.
If your friends aren't holding you accountable, they're not really your friends.
That's very true.
Your diet also has a lot to do with it. I was, there was a point in time I eat 20 wings and drink a whole Old English or whatever. I was putting that kind of shit in my body.
What you mean was a time?
I can't get Old English right now.
Well, I know you can't get Old English right now, but I'd have been with you somewhere. You ain't putting down 20, but you put down...
I can still dog it out.
Well, you're a big dude.
But it's not every day like it was. So what you put in your body and then doing something that's therapeutic, man. Like, you got to give yourself a chance to overcome your depressed or anxious feelings. If you sitting in the house in the dark not doing shit all day, you're not giving yourself a fighting chance.
Exactly. That's why I said, when I was younger, I did that. Like I was telling y'all earlier, I did that. I sat in the house and just wasted my whole weekend away in the house and doing all that. But here's the thing. Once I got older and I got me a car and I got money to start doing, like, man, I'm going to tell you something. My dad tells me when I come home, he's like, boy, you don't never sit down. I'm like, where do you go? Who do you go see? I'm like, I don't really go see nobody. He's like, so where are you going? I'm like, I just got to get up and go. I said, whether if it's just to the beach, I just grab a ghost shade just to go to the, well, the mall is not there no more, it was, but shout out to Sing River Mall. I said, whether it's that, whether I just drive to Biloxi, drive down the strip, maybe go to the casino. I said, I just got to get out and interact with people. I not necessarily to get out. Sometimes I just gotta get out of bed and say, the best things I can do, and this one thing, I gotta move somewhere else where that's on the coast. One thing I do is I get up, I just go to the beach, I sit there, not necessarily to meditate, but I just sit there and just look out into the shoreline and just look off into the distance and get my mind. Cause that was the number one thing when I used to have duty on my ship when I was in San Diego. I used to just get off. Like, if it was Friday or Saturday, I get off the next morning, I would drive down to Imperial Beach. That's a neighborhood in San Diego, and it's also a beach, too. Drive down to Imperial Beach, because Imperial Beach is, like, real, unless they're having a festival or something, it's, like, real, you know, you only might see some families or something. So I get out, walk on the pier, go out there just beyond the shoreline, and just sit there for about 30, 45 minutes, and just collect myself, get myself together, and just... enjoyed. Sometimes you just need to be, that's me and God being together, whoever your higher power, that's you just got to be with you and that higher power. Y'all need to just be alone for a while.
I'm telling you, give yourself a fighting chance.
Yeah, because
and it starts by holding yourself accountable, finding something that's therapeutic, and then what you put in your body ultimately also contributes to your mental state.
That is very true.
So in closing, I would say, you know, I'm not all the way closed on the mental health topic. I do still find some inconsistencies with everything. You know, as far as a chemical imbalance in somebody's brain goes, but you know, I'm open.
But no, sometimes it can be a cop out too, because like, if you just rude and nasty, and I hate when people do this. Somebody just rude and nasty, and then. And a lot of us as black men, we were dealing with this when we dealing with our homeboy's girlfriend or wives, because we all got that one homeboy that got a wife or a girlfriend that's just straight up a bitch. I'm just going to call it what it is. I ain't going to sugarcoat, I'm going to call it what it is. And I'm the one that's usually going to check them out the group. I'm like, hey, bro, talk to your girl. I'm coming to as a man. And they're going to always, oh, that's just the way she is. I said, okay, well, when I put my foot in her ass, that's just the way I am. So don't get mad. Yeah. Oh, I said, your woman got one more time, bro. She got one more time, and then I'm going to let her have it. I'm going to tell her, I'm going to call her everything but a child of God.
And that's because your brother wasn't, or your friend wasn't holding her account.
Oh, no, no, I ain't got to worry about my brother. My brothers, they women don't get out of pocket, man. Ain't no, they beat on women. It's just something like this. Like, just get it look like, all right, nah. That's enough.
I was talking about the Ike Turner meme.
Everybody, I know what you're talking about.
I know that meme, man.
But no, but see, but this is the thing, and I'm going to say this. I can't attest for my brothers, but I do know me. I got a tendency, I look at my girl like that, but like, behind closed doors, if I really like a woman, I'm a softie. Like, I'll be like, she be like, you doing this, that, and third, da, 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 and I don't know that, you ain't shit, and I'll be like,
yes, ma'am.
I don't be knowing about the yes man, but like, yeah. But no, this is the number one thing you can do, and you probably may have done it. You've been a married man, you know, just look at the woman in the middle of the argument and say, you right, and I'm sorry.
Hey.
Boy, that shit works wonders.
I tell people all the time, when it comes to relationships with your significant other, you can be right, or you can be happy. It's up to you to choose which one is more important.
Well, Terrence Howell said, get rich or die trying. Like, I'm right. I know that I'm right, but it's like I'm wrong. I still am right because I could have been wrong.
I could have been right, so.
I'm still right. But don't get me wrong. I could be wrong about you, but I'm right. I love that quote. He said, don't get me wrong. I could be wrong about you, but I'm right. And he was.
He was like, you understand what I'm saying, man? And 50 was like, yeah.
And I ain't going to lie. That's kind of hard, like, loving somebody who kind of got some. I'm not gonna say mental illness, but has been through some fucked up shit.
Loving somebody is hard, period.
Because I ain't gonna say I love the person that been through that, but I have cared for a person who went through some stuff like that, and it was just little stuff that I would do, I would trip on that just shocked them. Like, I may have mentioned this before, but one young lady I really liked a lot, she got mad because her ex before me used to call her all the time and check in with her when she went out. Oh. And she, like, I'm gonna tell you what happened. So it's a Friday. She had just came over the night before. And I'm talking about, boy, I worked on like a full time job, boy.
Just got paid.
Yeah, like a full time job. I worked hard for the first 15 minutes, bullshit for the rest of the time, and picked up a slack last 15 minutes. She ain't know the difference, though. So. I called up the next day. I'm going out, me and the boys. We were going to go out here downtown San Diego. You know, live it up because it was a payday. Like you said, we just got paid.
Friday night.
It was 15th. So, I called it. So, I'm thinking, man, I got paid. So, I'm going to give me a little taste before I go on hit them streets.
Shut your ass.
I like the movement. Come on, baby. Come on, give me a little taste right fast.
That's fucking hilarious.
Come on, give me a little taste before I hit the streets. So, I called. I was like, hey, baby, what you doing? She's like, nothing. Chilling. I'm like, you at work? She's like, yeah, I'm about to get off in about an hour. I said, you got plans tonight? She's like, yeah, I'm gonna go out with my girl. Said, when you going out? She's like, we gonna probably hit the streets like 9 or 10. I was like, what you doing between that? She said, hell no. I was like, what? She said, I'm not coming over though. I'm like, why? I said, I'm gonna get a little taste of gnaw. I said, cause you gonna want the taste, but you gonna get the whole damn thing.
That's an old head.
I like the old head. Say that, baby. Give me a little taste. Give me a little taste.
Oh my God.
Hey, come on, man. Give me a little taste. You know I'm an old soul, man. You know I'm like a 50-year-old man trapping a 30-year-old's body, man. I like some stuff they be saying. Like, I like saying, young blood, what's happening? But I gotta be careful depending on what neighborhood I'm in, because that'll get you shot.
What's going on, Cool Breeze?
No, I don't do all that Cool Breeze. Then you trying to, but young blood, what's happening? I do that with your actual young blood, and they be like, they be like, oh man, what's up, big homie? Like, nah, I ain't the big homie. I know where you at. But anyway, I digress. So, I told her, she's like, nah, I ain't coming over. That's it, because I know if I get over there and we get started, we not going to finish in time for me to catch up with my girls. I'm like, and she's like, plus, I'm still recovering from last night.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, boy, man, hey, I was, let me tell you something. I was hitting the next door neighbor's moment. I ain't play no game. I ain't saying I'm a Casanova.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I ain't Gerald LaVert. I ain't no Casanova, but I wasn't playing no games on that one. But anyway, so I just decided to take that, like, all right. She's like, well, just text me later on. And I'm like, what you mean just text me later on? She was like, well, aren't you going out with your friends? I said, yeah, so tell me, why would I want to text you when I'm going out with my friends? She's like, so you're not going to text me? And I'm like, no, I'm going to be out with my friends. She's like, you better text me or call me. And I didn't. So she hits me up when she got back home, and I was just happened to be getting back home, and she was like, you have a good night, with a mean face. And I'm thinking, like, I ain't talked to nobody. I, like, she ain't pull up on me at the club because I didn't holler at no one other woman. I was not. That's how you know I was in a happy relationship.
Was,
I wouldn't.
You was on your best behavior.
Yeah, I was on my best behavior. I was. Yeah, I was on the best behavior. So I was like, nah, she ain't catch me with nobody else. Bro, I even made sure I ain't even tell a woman the time or the day. I ain't even actually tell a woman where the bathroom was at in the club. I was like, they were like, where's the bathroom? I turned away. But, so I called the next morning. I'm like, hey, what was up with that text? She was like, so you couldn't call me and see how I was doing and all that. And I'm like, wow. She said, well, see my, and I said, wait a minute. Is that what old boy used to do? She was like, yeah. I said, you ain't got to check in with me. I ain't your P.O.
I'm not your dad.
I'm not your P.O., ain't your daddy. You call me daddy, but I ain't your daddy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I said, baby, you a grown woman. Live your life. And that's what I had to realize. A lot of stuff she did, I'm like, not just that. That was just made me, I'm like, oh, this bless this baby heart. She done been through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it ended up falling apart in the end because of that, because she just didn't understand, like, I'm not here to hurt you.
She wasn't used to.
Like, and she just couldn't understand I wasn't there to hurt her. And I was like, baby, I'm sorry you feel this way, but I didn't do none of this stuff because I'm not trying to hurt you. One, another thing is, too, I really didn't have the energy. I be tired when I get off work. And then, two, I still got a little light case of ADHD. I just be forgetting. It's hard for me to stay focused on one task. That's why I don't know how some men be cheating. I can't cheat. It's hard for me to stay focused on one task. I got to juggle three other women. Like, I just don't, I can't do that.
You're a black man anyway, man. Black men don't.
Well, we said that until your boy that we talked about last week.
Fuqua is from
he's from Pittsburgh. we had a good run. We had a good run. You know what they did? It's the operatives from Hot Girl Summer. They threw him out there. They threw him out there. It was like, look here.
Fuqua ain't been nowhere. I never even knew what Fuqua looked like until like.
I seen a couple pictures of him, but
we
all gonna know what him look like now, cause everybody gonna want to see them pictures of Nicole Murphy. Yeah, she ain't shit, but god damn it, that woman got a body that can stop traffic. Boy. Well,
but, you know, also, we just got word right after the El Paso shooting, there was another mass shooting in Dayton, Ohio. So,
you know, did you look up how many cars there were? Because you want to go. I don't even know.
Nah, man. But
I'm like, what's that song? I don't want to know. That's just, and that's no joke. That's just, yeah. I'm tired of all this, man.
It is, man. So, y'all stay safe out there.
So, now we about to get into the food talk. All right, enough of that serious shit. Not into some bullshit. So, I know you happy being a married man. I know you not only gonna be happy to go back to your wife and your baby girl, but I know your wife is gonna give you a present. I ain't talking about the present how you end up with your daughter. I'm talking about that 2K. I know you're going back to that 2K.
So, luckily for her, 2K comes out in September. So, by the time I get home in February, I will have got my proper playing of the video game in. However, if I was back home, then my wife would know from September to January, I'm out of order.
Yeah, I mean, we talking about.
I'm not, I don't even exist.
Yeah, 2K is good, but you remember, we were talking about this at dinner the other night. Man, you think NBA Live will ever make a comeback, man? Yeah, you think it's a wrap for them, man? That says it all.
Let's say a word of prayer for the NBA Live. EA Sports.
No, you remember that year? I think it was NBA Live 04. Remember when they had moved to where you didn't have to hit like the triangle, the X, and all that to like for the crossover, the juke, and all. And they put it all on that little dial up. Man, at first I hate. I'm like, who the hell put? But boy, once I got nice with it, I was stutter stepping, crossing over, spinning. Boy, I was doing dudes in on 04, man.
Yeah, man. A lot of video games I wish would come back. NCAA sports like basketball, NCAA football, man.
Oh no, but you know they can't break them off. They can't break them off. Like they said in your favorite movie, one of your favorite movies, Blue Chips. We owe them this money.
We owe them this money.
We owe it to them.
Yeah, I'm a big supporter of student athletes getting paid. I think it's a lot easier said than done, and there are a lot of wrinkles they got to get worked out. Like Trevor Lawrence, the starting quarterback for Clemson, he shouldn't get the same amount of money as
Rudiger that walks
Rudy
on,
or the third string left tackle.
Yeah, but you know they're gonna have to distribute that money. One of our friends told us they came to an agreement where they were gonna give them $850 bill. But I'm thinking like for one, but that's distributed throughout all of NCAA. And see, everybody just think we think NCAA. You just think of top schools like Florida State, Miami, UCLA, Oklahoma. You gotta remember, there's like Lord knows how many schools in D1, then there's Lord knows how many schools in D2, and Lord knows how many schools in D3.
You got FBS, then you got the FCS, and yeah. Then you got D2, there's a lot. The
got NCAA. ABC, ABC, DEFG, XYZ, DEA, CIA.
Trying to pay student athletes is a lot easier said than done, but the NCAA last year made over $1 billion, and somewhere there's a student athlete who has to eat ramen noodles.
He did doing that for the news papers.
He got to eat ramen noodles. Like Shabazz Napier said after they won the national championship, he said, "I just got done eating ramen noodles."
That's why I like Benny Blaze on the U when they were talking about the bicep. You think I ain't gonna take that bicep? Man, let me tell you something. I'm 200 and something pounds. I got a kid that need diapers. I'm gonna take whatever the hell somebody give me. I'm a big boy. I like to eat.
Yeah, man. The U.
You know what? We was talking about the jump. We're gonna get back in there. I know a 30 for 30. I don't understand why they ain't made, but what they need to make. They need to make a 30 for 30 about your boy and his team from the 80s. Your boy John Thompson and the 1980s Hoyas. The Hoyer paranoid. That's what they need to call it. Hoyer paranoid. I don't understand why they won't. You know, I think it's why they won't make it. Cause like we were talking,
it was too real.
No, I'm saying because his thing with the media. You know, that man didn't play with the media. Like he said, I'm gonna stay my lot of time. I'm gonna say what you want me to say. But when my time is about to be here, no, I'm gone. Cause he said I didn't understand it. Bobby Knight, everybody love him. He throwing chairs. And everybody praise, and he's just a very passionate coach, John Thompson. He just racist. He a bigot. He just a black man that just want to fight all the time. Because a lot of people used to always say he's never recruited a white athlete to play Georgia. I was like, go back and look at some of those tapes. They didn't start, but he had some white players on Georgia.
I mean, how many black players Kentucky recruit?
I mean, don't
before,
they not?
Before
1972 is when they first recruited.
How many?
And that's what I killed me. They called, and I saw somebody said John Thompson was a race. I said, really? Because they have evidence of Adolph Rupp, who was a legendary Kentucky coach who was there for like decades before he stepped down in 1972. And he straight up said, I will never recruit a black person.
It ain't Adolph Rupp.
And then not only that, he said he won't never recruit a black player until 1966. What was that school that beat him? It's called Texas Western, right? Not at the University of Texas El Paso Miners. And then
speaking of things like that being uncovered. You heard about that phone call between Reagan and Nixon?
Oh, yeah, we called African diplomats monkeys.
You see what I'm saying, man? And a lot of people will regard Ronald Reagan as the greatest president ever.
Shit.
A lot of people, he locked up a lot of us.
Oh, no, he did. My mama actually told me, she said she lost her first job under Reagan. Like the first job she had, because my mom was a social worker in Jackson County, Mississippi. She said she lost her first job under that man. Mm-hmm. I remember when he died. I don't know if you remember, I was in like 9th going on 10th grade when he passed away, and they had like this week long thing. I'm not gonna say which one of my family members it was. They threw a party. They were drinking and barbecuing.
You know how many of us Reagan locked up, bro?
Yeah, I know.
And the crazy thing, his administration bringing the shit in the country.
Oh yeah.
But that's you know what? That's just hearsay. You know what am I even talking about?
Yeah, who is Oliver North?
What am I even?
Who is Oliver North and the Sandinistas and Contra
and Barry Seal, man.
Barry Seal and Free Ray Rick Ross. Who are they?
Danilo Blandon. I don't even know.
Rick Ross, that was them two rappers, ain't it? One was with State Property and the other one was with Slip and Slide for a little bit before he broke off and made his own, wasn't it? Hey, speaking of that, you gonna get that port of Miami too?
Nah.
You ain't gonna get the port of Miami too?
What do you mean get it?
Like Rick Ross's port of Miami, you ain't gonna listen to it?
I'm gonna listen to it.
No.
I'm not gonna pay for it though. I'm gonna download it.
Anyway, no, we was talking about games. So like we were talking about live making a comeback. NBA Live. You think the two NFL 2K series gonna make a comeback?
Nah, I think Madden NFL 2K never had a chance.
I'm gonna tell you what Madden better not never do again. And I think it was 05 when they did that fucking quarterback vision. I hope whoever came up there was fired.
QB vision was probably the worst thing to hit.
Whoever came up with that need to be fired. Like I was just Because Peyton Manning had the whole feeling. Who was Aaron Brooks just had a little sliver?
Aaron Brooks had the smallest QB vision I've ever
seen. So basically, you knew he going to run.
And then Michael, I want to say Michael Vick.
Mike Vick had a decent one.
But it was decent. His speed was like 100. Like,
but no, Aaron Brooks, you just needed, you didn't even have to have like a decent, like a, was it a nickel? A nickel defense? Ain't that a pass? Nickel. You didn't even have a nickel defense. You'd be a straight 4-3. You can hit him with a straight 4-3. Or you get it with a goal line defense.
You hit him with a gauge.
You get it with a goal line defense because you know he going to run because he hit nobody. Hit him with a man-to-man goal line defense.
But yeah, ladies, don't get mad at your man over this next couple months. It's 2K season.
When you get mad, you come to me because I don't game.
Hey, look.
I don't game. Yo, I ain't game since.
Ladies, y'all just had hot girl summer. Let us have 2K season. Let us have 2K season.
Oh, man, it was a big debate I had with one of my friends about hot girl summer. She was like, well, how come y'all, when y'all go, why is it because women say hot girl summer? I said, it's not the fact that y'all say hot girl summer. It's the fact that y'all.
It's the antics.
It's like that y'all trying to hide that you're going through a whole phase. Nothing wrong with going through a whole phase. Everybody's a whole nowadays. It's applauded. Just say it's a whole, but don't. I said, if you calling it that, like I told her, I said, that's just because you're ashamed. And she's like, well, I don't understand. When y'all do it, it ain't called being a hoe. When we do, I said, actually, it is called being a hoe with us. We just don't take it that seriously.
Yeah, we
do. Like, she's like, well, I don't understand. You guys get a pat on the back for doing it, but we get looked at sideways. I said, it's like an old Chinese proverb I heard that was in a meme. When it's a girl asks, said, how come if I sleep with a lot of men, I'm looked down upon, but if a man sleep with a lot of women, he said, because if a key can go to any lock, it's a master key. He said, if any key can go in one lock, the lock is fucking flimsy. For those y'all don't get it, the key is a penis, the lock is a vagina. Because you know, some people out there be like, I don't get, because, you know, the woman's body, and my cousin Gabe told me this. He said they have more nerves in their vagina than we have in our penis. Like, I think my cousin Gabe told me we have 1,500 nerves in our penis. They got 30,000 in their vagina. So are we engaging when we having sex, I try to look for a deep dive. I can't be deep. While we're having sex, we just think about, yeah, I'm trying to get mine. Yeah, she's so fine. She's a pretty person. She's like, oh my God, it feels so good. Oh my God, he IQ. I love him. I think I care about. We ain't thinking about all at the same time. I'm not saying that every man don't like or love the woman that he's with. Because I've had some women
that you love.
I don't know about love. I was infatuated with them deeply. I don't know about love. The reason why I don't say love, because either they felt the way about me and I didn't, or I felt the way about them and they didn't. I can't consider that love if y'all both ain't on the same accord.
100.
I just don't feel that. Cause I had one chick actually tell me this one time. She was like, I love you. I was like, yeah. And another chick told me that she was like, I love you. I was like, okay. She like, do you love me? I was like, what you think? She like, I think you do. I'm like, well, there you go. And then she was like, but you told me you love me. I said, no. I never told you that.
I said,
you said you love me. And you asked me, did I love you? And I said, what you think? You said, yeah, I can't control your thoughts. She hated that shit. I really thought she would come down the steps and tell my car up, man.
Oh, speaking of hot girl summer and Meg Thee Stallion, by any chance, did you see the 2019 XXL freshman freestyle?
I saw her portion. She a dog. She nice with it. Now, whoever that boy on had on that, who had on that alpaca, that 30,000 alpaca that you blocked that shit. Whoever that had,
Lil Mosey.
He need to mose his ass on
He's
somewhere.
Terrible.
That man was ass.
Overall, they were all terrible.
No, Meg is killing dog.
Meg, nice. The baby was nice. YBN Cordae is decent. But overall, that might have been the worst XXL freshman freestyle I ever heard.
The last freshman class I saw that was worth anything. Who is it, the one that Crit was on? Was that 11? Or was that 10?
That was a while ago.
But I'm saying, like, cause wasn't it was him, Cole, and wasn't Nipsey on there with him too? Whatever them last, I'm gonna say the last.
I'd have to look.
I think it's 10 and 11 were the last two great years of it.
12
was right behind it.
Personally, the year with Kevin Gates, Chance the Rapper, August Alsina,
But that what got me about August Alsina, because like I'm like, he's not a rapper though. Like,
and even in his freshman joint, he was singing it.
But no, his I'm gonna be honest about August Alsina for the longest time. I'm like, how can I tell the difference between? Cause like that song, I love it. I thought that was Trey Songz shit. I did not.
He had the remix of Trey Songz on it.
I didn't tell when who was singing. I was like, why would you do that? Why would you put this man? They signed his. What is he doing now? We ain't heard from him. He must have fell off because my boy that I told you about, Marlon Ballard, my comedian homeboy, Marlon Ballard, he said, life is hitting him in the mouth now. And that's coming for him treating me bad. So I was like, damn, like, I didn't know August Alsina fell off.
I didn't.
But then people got mentioned about something. He treated him bad. Like, first of all, that man from New Orleans. I don't know if you dealt with people in New Orleans. People in New Orleans ain't never Southern New Yorkers. They blank. And the thing is about, especially the female down there, they love to sit there and talk. You old bold face looking bitch. Don't come for me now. Don't you come for me. I'm like, I didn't say nothing to you. You just came straight at my head. But don't you come for me unless I sent for you, baby. I love that baby too. They're like, hey, baby, what's going on? Like, girl.
I was like, man, all I was talking about, all I did was ask you how the weather was.
Them girls down there, hey, baby. I be loving when they be talking and then they answer their own questions. Oh, you down bad, yeah? Did you just ask me a question and answer it for me? Like, how that go? They got some beautiful women too.
Shit, 2016 freshman class as far as like being MCs, like they wasn't all that, but
I don't
they
know.
They got some hit makers, man.
I don't know. It's just, see, the thing is, I really kind of fell off with music. I mean, I still listen to music, I still find out about people, because I used to be the go-to man when I was in high school for music, because you got to remember, we had LimeWire, I'd go to YouTube and pull up stuff to go find, and then the radio was still putting out stuff. So I used to be the go-to man. I used to go find any song I want, but now you don't really even need to listen to the radio to find music no more.
I think when I first realized social media was like the biggest advertisement for music was Vine. On Vine, you know, they had the video of Bobby Shmurda throwing his hat in the air and then he hit the Shmoney dance or whatever. And then I was like, yo, what song is that?
Hey, man, we were talking about that. Anybody on here, have you ever been in the club and Bobby Shmurda play a song playing? Was it Hot Nigga?
Hot Boy.
Hot Boy. One or two. Hey, have you ever been in the club? I have never been in the club when they say, and if you ain't doing... Is there somewhere where they don't stop the song and everybody say, get up on my trap out? I don't even know what that version, what that sounds like in the song. Every club I'm in, they just completely kill the music, the whole crowd. Get up on my trap out.
I've been sounding like crap. Like, this is great.
Hey.
Shmurda coming home.
Next
year, too.
This one I'm mad about. We're talking about music. Nobody told me about that chick, Bonfire. I discovered her a couple of days ago at work. The Bonfire is nice. She was with this dude. Is it Six Black or is it Black? How you pronounce his buddy name?
I think it's Black.
But he got a six. I don't know. We need to be listening to his music. He got a six there. And it, you know,
I think he might be from Atlanta.
They got GDs in Atlanta.
No, I'm just saying. I think he. I don't think he game anybody.
I don't know.
He's
man.
From Atlanta though.
I don't want to be down there on the martyr on Atlanta. You know.
He's solid though.
Not like, I heard that Indigo by Chris Brown. Oh my lord. What is up with him in releasing all these Tupac double albums? Like his album be 2 hours long, like, and they be bangers. But it's like, come on.
It's like he's just saving them.
It's like
I'm putting these all the. I'm holding on to these for 1 30-minute. Compilation or 30 songs.
Cause see, I pride myself on making it through a Chris Brown album if I'm with my girl, if you know what I'm saying. I'm not gonna make it through no 2 hour album. I'm just not. I mean, I probably get like maybe an hour ends halfway through the album or maybe 3-4. I'm not making it through no 2 hours, not in one session.
Man, Chris Brown, he'll release a 35 track project.
It smacks. His stuff smacks.
Oh, yeah.
But
Chris Brown, that guy, man. I always.
What was up with that video he had where he got that little perm looking like somebody from the Five Heartbeats?
The John with Drake.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I always say, man, Chris Brown, that's a talented brother.
No, he is talented. But this is why, like I said, we talked about this and everybody was, man, Chris Brown. Rihanna. I said, actually, I think him having that trouble with Rihanna is the best thing that could have happened because it allowed him to like not care about what his critics say and open up and just be himself.
Because he wasn't the little kid everybody's used to.
I remember the first song I heard when I realized, oh man, Chris all the way loose. Deuces, when I first heard Deuces. All that bullshit. I'm like, wait a minute, that's Chris. Wait a minute, Sea Breeze, what you doing?
Yeah,
Like, what did you do? He said, wait for me to fuck. I'm like, oh, Lord, he out here. But I was in there like, but I think every man that broke up with his girl around about that time, she come in the house and like, he grow by in the car. You feeling some type of way? Deuces!
Well, you know.
That's just like anytime you had a dude hating on you and J. Cole. Just released 2014 Forest Hill Drive and GOMD. So anytime I used to love when somebody I ain't like was talking, and I said, man, I got something to say. And then time where I forget on my dick.
That J. Cole, I want to say the best J. Cole. That Born Sinner was something crazy.
Well, I see, I like 2014 Forest Hill Drive because that got me through my last bit of my 10-month deployment, and that just thing just ride. 1 through 30, and I like the end credits he had at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Like he was just going there. He's like, these are end credits. You know, if you ain't like it, you know, get your punk ass on out the theater. Like, you know, you ain't gotta stay for him. And he just was all the way alive, man. But we just been rambling on with this thing.
We
trying to kill some time because I thought that was just gonna be good. But he like Big Key said, no, we got to have a food talk.
Hey man, what man? Come on, man. We gotta have a food talk, man. It can't be too serious.
Yeah.
We started off with. It was some negativity that led into our first topic when we were talking about the mass shootings that's been going on, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had to end it on a light note.
I hope this episode was, like, you know, informative and with some serious topics. No, somebody told us that our topics weren't serious.
I mean, I don't know how more.
And it's because I was like, what you want to do? She's like, well, y'all need you guys to be serious. Like, don't nobody need to be depressed when they hear our shit. It's like Precious. Like, I can't watch Precious in no depressed mood.
Oh, man.
Like, bro, if I was somebody suffering from depression and I saw Precious, I probably would have put a bullet through my head and ended it all. Because, like, that movie was horrible. There's no redeeming quality about that movie, Precious.
That's the best, worst movie I've ever seen, bro.
That and For Colored Girls. That shit
it,
was just...
It really... Lord. It made me hate Monique so much, dog.
She did a thing.
There's some movies like that that'll make... There's some roles people have that'll make you hate the actual person. Like Monique, Tariq from Power.
Everything he in, he just stupid. Like, everything he's in, he's stupid. I think they got that boy's like, you seem like you're very stupid. And this comes natural to you.
And Uncle Ice from Payton.
No, it's not, because he wasn't bad in Luke Cage.
I will never forgive him, bro.
That's one role, man.
I'll never forgive him.
You know somebody I ain't gonna never give the dude that played Big Red on Five Heartbeats.
Bro, we're deployed with him right now, bro.
Deployed with who?
Red, bro.
Big Red from Five. Who you call?
IT-1 Red, bro.
You wrong as hell.
Bro,
man,
he
bro.
Calls himself Red.
He don't call himself Big Red.
Cause he ain't that big, but he Red though.
Well, is his office hours 9 to 5? I don't.
He Red, man.
Well, man, look at hey. That's your opinion. He ain't finna come dangle me out no window.
Hey, man.
So.
You know, but, you know the saying. You know how it goes, folks. Be cool, stay calm, and get paid. This is your boy Big Keith signing out.
And this is your boy Peter Mack. And this was some deep talk, but also some food talk for that ass.
For that ass.